Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Hey, it's Jesse Waters from Fox News Channel. Hope to see you at My Ag Night on November 2nd. It's going to be a night you will not want to miss.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
In recognition of National Farm to School Month's theme of Rooted in Community, Growing Stronger Together, the California Department of Food and Agriculture celebrates the community of individuals across all sectors, generations, and interests, including farmers, parents, students, advocates, teachers, food service workers, and lawmakers who share a common vision of an abundant, nourishing, and equitable food system. In a California Farm to School Network, partners include the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Food and Nutrition Services, regularly celebrating nutritious school meal offerings on their Instagram page, the Spork Food Hub, celebrating Farm to School Month through their second annual Spork Squash Fest, the San Diego Unified School District Farm to School Program, inviting a community to join them in celebrating the Farm to School movement, and the Capistrano Unified School District, taking part in a community alliance with Family Farmers Farm to School Month celebration of the California Crunch, in which hundreds of schools across California take one big collective bite out of locally grown fruits and vegetables to celebrate local farms and healthy eating. More information on the California Department of Food and Agriculture Facebook page. Fruit World is touting a recent Equitable Food Initiative certification for its facility in Reedley. The sustainably focused fresh produce company called the certification a testament to the hard work and dedication of everyone involved. The certification marks a monumental accomplishment. They take their mission of creating an equitable and sustainable food system to heart, and this achievement demonstrates that their actions match their words, according to Fruit World founder and CEO Bianca Caprilian. The California citrus season starts 2 to 3 weeks later than usual, according to a press release, and while citrus volume is down across the board this year, Fruit World says it is working harder than ever to make every piece count. The company says the increased organic citrus acreage coming into play this season further emphasizes its commitment to the long haul. The season will commence with the organic lemon program, a year-round favorite featuring fresh fruit from the desert region that's being accompanied by sweet limes, with grapefruit to follow by the end of the month. November will mark the arrival of navels and mandarins, with miniolas, caracara, and blood oranges all shipping in December. Walmart is announcing plans to open its fifth next-generation fulfillment center in Stockton in 2026. The Stockton Fulfillment Center will be the fifth of Walmart's next-generation facilities, combining skilled associates with technology and machine learning to provide the West Coast with faster shipping and delivery while increasing fulfillment capacity for Walmart.com orders. The high-tech facility will feature an automated high-density storage and retrieval system that streamlines a manual 12-step process down to just five steps. Benefits of the new technology include more comfort for associates, double the storage capacity, and twice the number of customer orders that Walmart can fulfill in a day, expanding the next or two-day shipping for Walmart customers. The fulfillment center will soon be home to more than 1,000 Walmart associates. The retailer will hire for a variety of positions, including tech-focused jobs. California officials have faulted communities in a stretch of the crop-rich San Joaquin Valley for failing to develop a plan to adequately protect groundwater in the often drought-plagued state. The state's Water Resources Board said in April hearing to determine whether the Tulare Lake sub-basin in the heart of California's farm country should be placed on probation. It's the first time the state has made such a move and the first step in a lengthy process that could end up requiring large farms in the area to report groundwater use and pay fees. California is starting to regulate pumping of groundwater after years of drought and overpumping left rural residents as wells dry and led to the subsidence or the sinking of land in some communities. Both issues have affected the agricultural region, which is home to 145,000 people. The state enacted a 2014 law tasking communities with forming groundwater agencies and making plans to manage the resource substantially, starting with the most critically overdrafted basins, including the Tulare Lake subbasin. Five groundwater agencies joined together to come up with a plan for the subbasin, where farmers grow cotton, almonds, and pistachios. But the plan was one of six that California's Department of Water Resources deemed inadequate this year. Now the State Water Resources Control Board will hold a hearing in April to decide whether to place the Tulare Lake subbasin on probation. If it does, large pumpers would report their groundwater usage and pay fees, while the local agencies draft a new plan for the basin. If they don't, the board could eventually implement its own plan. While the seasons of some fruit varieties are winding down in California, others are still going or about to start up. They're getting ready for the citrus season, according to Krista Beckstead with Mountain View Fruit Sales. The company brings to market clementines, page, and tango mangarines, as well as murcots. Clementines will be the first variety to be harvested in November, which is about 2 weeks later than last year. And she says while the weather has been very good all summer, thrip damage was very bad this season. The insects got into the flowers at bloom time and created scars on a tender developing fruit. On a positive note, most of the thrip damaged fruit dropped, but the flip side is the crop is down in volume about 20% overall. Because production volume is lower, the fruit will be larger in size, and Beckstead expects a better pack out. Clementines are anticipated to be available between November and mid-January. They will be followed by page mandarins from the mid-December until February timeline, and tango mandarins from late January until April. The easy peeler season will close with murcots that are available between mid-March and May. While they expect to start harvest 2 weeks later compared to last year, they also expect to finish around May 1st, 2 weeks earlier than normal. Within the conventional mandarin category, Rascals are the company's house brand. Rascals are available countrywide. In addition to Easy Peelers, Mountain View Fruit Sales also offers Meyer Lemons, Lisbon Lemons, Caracara Oranges, and Red Grapefruit. While the California citrus season starts early November, table grapes are expected to finish harvest around that time and should be available in stores until middle or end of November. It's been a difficult table grape season with the rain humidity effects from Hurricane Hilary, according to Beckstead. Overall, industry volume is projected to be down at least 35% from last year's 97.5 million box crop. Although quality has been good, packing in the field is taking much longer than normal, as damaged fruit needs to be identified and bunches need to be cleaned up. She says it just takes more time to get a nice finished product. Demand for table grapes has been good both domestically and internationally, particularly their green seedless variety Sweet Globe. She says they saw fantastic demand from all export markets. The variety is packed under the Estate Vineyards label and exclusive Mountain View Premium Table Grape label. The variety made its way over to Mexico, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Malaysia, Korea, Japan, and Singapore. Jackson Family Wines has announced the achievement of organic certification for all of its Napa Valley Estate Vineyard properties through the Certified California Organic Farmers Program. Covering approximately 480 acres across 15 estate vineyards throughout Napa Valley, the milestone aligns with the company's Rooted for Good Roadmap to 2030 Sustainability Initiative. This organic certification in Napa represents the initial step as they progress towards regenerative organic certification and continue to foster harmony between the natural world and the agricultural world, that according to Christopher Carpenter, winemaker at Jackson Family Wines. In overseeing the company's Napa Valley vineyards, Carpenter collaborated with vineyard manager Rafael Jimenez, a 35-year veteran of organic farming. Together, they implemented a range of organic practices, including the use of biochar and compost to enrich the soil and increase organic matter under the vines. Additionally, they transitioned to no-till farming methods and introduced sheep for controlled grazing in the vineyards. In addition, they used ladybugs to control leafhoppers and also installed owl boxes.
Join us for an unforgettable evening with Jesse Waters, co-host of Fox News at the International Agri Center in Tulare, California. Tickets are extremely limited for this one-night-only experience, and they will sell out.
Hey, it's Jesse Waters from Fox News Channel. Hope to see you at my Ag Night on November 2nd. It's going to be a night you will not want to miss.
Don't miss your only chance to see Jesse Waters here in the heart of California on November 2nd. Reserve your spot now at myaglife.com/myagnight.
Agrivoltaics, the co-location of both agriculture and solar voltaics, is becoming more and more popular, especially in California, where the renewable energy push is in full swing and space for energy solutions is limited. In California, many growers are also seeing rising energy costs for some time now and have been looking for novel solutions to reduce those costs. Agrivoltaics technology has the potential to reduce these costs while also combating climate change and creating a more resilient ag landscape, according to Aztec Solar's Kevin Logue.
Voltaics, as we know from their typical applications, you're able to offset your energy with a clean energy, or you offset your energy costs with clean energy. And having this in a farm setting is giving clean crops with clean energy, right? That's kind of always been the goal with that. But also with different applications, you're able to increase the yield of certain types of products, such as berries. You're also able to shade areas and protect farm workers who are exposed to direct sun. And you're also able to cover some of your crops and reduce the frost that hampers the yield. So those are just, a couple of different ways that we find that farmers are motivated to incorporate the photovoltaics to their agricultural settings. The cost of energy is the number one driver, right? That's the biggest, the biggest problem for most farmers is having a positive outcome with their yield at the end of the day after they go to market. Well, offsetting some of your operational costs is going to help us get there. Now, if that mechanism you're using to offset your operational costs can also help your harvest yield, then we have something that the farmers and the society can benefit from. And that's what we're seeing now with some of these new applications. And we have a lot of the Germans to thank for some of this forward progressive thinking. And that's something that we're following suit with. And we don't want to have to reinvent the wheel, but we do want to practice, good farming practices. We want to adhere to those.
There are a number of agrivoltaic setups becoming increasingly common, but one in particular that Logue noted is the vertical panel setup in fields and vineyards, where panels' faces are at a vertically upright angle compared to the ground, creating almost a fence of panels in a row that reduces the amount of land needed for that panel space.
Basically, you've taken solar modules and you've turned them into fences, and that's been probably the biggest change application that we've found. And these vertical fences, they have a couple different uses. Number one, they're bifacial modules. And when we line them up north-south, you get a really good east and west harvest. And it's very, very similar to a standard optimized installation of due south at 180 degrees azimuth at a 20 to 30 degree tilt, depends on where you are on the equator. So it's so for this to have almost the same exact harvest, this is a game changer. And this is something that it's been introduced here this last year, and it's becoming more and more popular. We just installed the first one in the United States, but we have many more right now that are in process. So one of the things that we find with this vertical solar is that it's going to, once again, give you that same goal of offsetting your energy, and at the same time, you're reducing the land needed by 90%. I only need 10% of what I typically would need if I'm just putting out standard solar and trying to help that farmer offset his harvest. So now he's really almost got a very similar yield with the offset of energy that he was hoping for.
A number of other new technologies in the agrivoltaic sector are available to growers to benefit their specific situations, Logue said.
Your standard solar product that's been out there in the past has been your basic solar module, one face getting the majority of the work. Having a bifacial module that gets harvest on both sides, once again, it's a smarter technology, and if the alignment's correct, it is a good use. But then there's also, sometimes you don't have that application, but maybe you have a water retaining pond, and you can float your solar out there on floating platforms. And so you're utilizing space that would no usually not be used for anything but water retention. You're able to reduce the evaporation by having those applications over the water. And so it's a win-win because you're not losing any kind of valuable ground, and you're able to also help with your water retention at the same time. So that's a real popular one. It's a little bit expensive. Sure, you got to float these out. Yet it's with the cost of energies, the ROI, the return on investment on these are less than 5 years. So it's usually a very, very good offer for the farmer. You know, that's one way. You know, your other typical ways are rooftops and or, you know, outdoor patio coverings, things of those natures. You have hillsides. There's a new product out called Earthos, which is they lay it flat on the ground where there's no metal involved, and there's a little robot that cleans it every night. That's the lowest cost of energy, and that's really ideal for farms throughout California. And we have about 5 megawatts installed throughout the state right now. And it's, once again, it is the lowest cost of energy, but you are losing some land. You're maybe one third of what your typical arrays would be tilted, because you have to have spacing in between the rows. When the stuff lays flat, it's a lot more condensed in its nature. So it's, you're able to get more bang for your buck, and it's a low cost of energy because there's very little metal involved at all. There's nothing going in the ground. You can literally take this apart at the end of its life and plant crops there, and you'll be fine.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Most consumers appear to prefer brand name beverages over generic or store brand beverages. That's according to the September 2023 Consumer Food Insights Report. The Purdue University report further indicates that consumers make this choice even when presented with a sizable price discount on generic or store brand names. In contrast, most survey respondents said they were not willing to pay a premium for brand name meats, fruits, or vegetables. Not surprisingly, households making less than $50,000 a year were more price sensitive when presented with two generic or store brand discounts. The survey also shows the consumer food inflation estimate of 6.3% continues to diverge from the government's consumer price index of food inflation at 4.3%. While consumers with the lowest incomes already choose more generic brands over name brands, this disparity tends to grow quickly when the discount on generic or store brand foods is double, from 15 to 30%. The USDA is extending the application deadline for the milk loss program to Monday, October 30th. That will allow more time for eligible dairy farmers to apply for much-needed weather-related disaster recovery assistance. Administered by the Farm Service Agency, MLP compensates dairy producers who, because of qualifying weather events, dumped or removed milk without compensation from the commercial milk market in calendar years 2020, 2021, and 2022. Eligible causes of losses also include the consequences of those weather events, such as power outages, impassable roads, and infrastructure losses. FSA opened enrollment on September 11th. They recognize that MLP benefits are critical to the financial recovery of dairy operations significantly impacted by weather-related disasters that inhibited their ability to deliver or store milk in one or even multiple years. That, according to FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau, most producers who have participated in prior FSA programs likely already have all the information they'll need on file. American Farms reported record cash receipts of $555 billion from the sales of all commodities in 2022. This beat the previous high from 2014 by 3.1% after adjusting both amounts for inflation, and was 28% above the 20-year average level. The 2022 record cash receipts primarily resulted from the strength of 2022 commodity prices, although production levels in 2022 were also strong. Changes were noted in USDA's latest outlook of the domestic rice supply and demand estimates, but what was behind those adjustments? USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
How does a lower yield forecast for domestic rice in October translate into the U.S. supply and demand ledger? As World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Chekanowski explains,
main changes this month reflect the new information we got from NASS in terms of rice production. They pulled back the yield forecast by about 14 pounds per acre. So that tightens up the supply situation just a little bit, about 400,000 hundredweight relative to where we were in September.
Meanwhile, rice exports, particularly for log grade, are active.
In light of that, we raised our export forecast by 1 million hundredweight, so it's currently at 86 million hundredweight. That would be up 21.7 million hundredweight year over year.
The smaller production and increased exports mean tighter ending stocks for rice in October.
But even with those little tighter ending stocks, we didn't make any change to our season average market price forecast.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The Energy Information Administration says ethanol output fell to a three-week low, while inventories also declined during the week ending October 6th. Ethanol production dropped to an average of 1.004 million barrels a day. The EIA report says that's down from 1.009 million barrels a week earlier and the lowest output since September 15th. The Midwest, by far the biggest ethanol-producing region in the country, saw production drop to an average of 950,000 barrels a day from the previous week of 956,000. Gulf Coast output fell to 20,000 barrels a day from 23,000 the prior week. That was the bulk of the losses during the week, as the West Coast production was unchanged at 10,000 barrels a day, while East Coast output rose to an average of 10,000 barrels a day from 6,000 during the prior week. Rocky Mount production rose to 14,000 barrels a day. Inventory dropped to 21.52 million barrels. Mississippi River water levels are still at an all-time low near Memphis and set a record for the second straight year. The low levels are causing a twofold problem, as barge traffic is still significantly disrupted and salt water is moving up the river in Louisiana, threatening drinking water supplies for thousands. The National Weather Service recently said the water level at Memphis fell to a record low elevation of minus 11.5 feet. This year's record is significantly lower than last year. In October of 2022, the Mississippi dropped to a minus 10.81 feet. Several other records were set at various stops along the river system, including Cairo, Illinois, on the Ohio River, which was at a level of minus 4.5 feet. New Madrid, Missouri, recently dropped to minus 6.4 feet. The low water level is causing concern about barge traffic availability during a U.S. harvest, when staple Midwest U.S. crops are transported to ports for shipping.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.